We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Master Your Life, the show of insight, intelligence, and inspiration, where I ask you each week to consider who is it you are right now and what is it you would really love to create in your life. Are you really satisfied with the way things are going in your life, or can you see areas where you would really love to improve your life so that you could have better life satisfaction, that you would feel less stress, more vital energy? And I'm host Leah Mattinson. This week, I'm joined by a fantastic guest from the UK. I'm so excited to have her on the show with me and for you all to enjoy her beautiful, different than me accent. So we're going to welcome this week Kate Mansfield. Now, Kate is an absolutely highly respected lady in the UK and top notch in dating coaching and relationship coaching. And the reason it's, well, such a pleasure to talk about that at any time, but in particular at this time, if you're alive in 2020 during this coronavirus epidemic or pandemic, really relationships have come under the microscope because there's been so much change. And what I want to talk about somewhat during the interview is a little bit about Kate's core work, but also about how does kicking into survival mode potentially make us not make great decisions. Or maybe it makes us make greater decisions. I don't really know, but we're going to leave it to the expert. So Kate, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, hi, and thank you so much for asking me. I'm really honored and excited to be here today. And really honored. So thank you.
Wonderful. So how did you get started in relationship and dating coaching?
Well, how long have you got? Okay. No, it kind of came about by accident, actually. It was not something I initially sat down and thought, I'm going to go and do that as a career choice. It's actually my fourth career. So, I was working in media, actually, before I switched about 10 years ago. And so I think initially for me, I've always been interested in personal development and my own personal journey of therapy work, counseling. I've also done a lot of 12-step recovery work, has been ongoing really for about 20 years, in fact. And, you know, my own personal journey in relationships has been incredibly challenging, particularly in romantic relationships. My parents separated when I was two, and that was very difficult for me. So I think from a really early age, I had this kind of mission to understand, probably from my own story, like, why couldn't my parents make it work? You know what I mean? Like, at a really basic core level, and they were very much at war for a lot of my childhood. So that was very challenging for me. And then growing up and having my own child, my son, who's now 17, and as many, many people do, and many of my clients, this is the reason they come to me, I absolutely repeated the story, you know? So my parents separated when I was two. I separated from my son's father when he was two. The same issues were kind of present in the reason for that breakup. And so really, actually, when I was pregnant with my son, I started doing some deep kind of like spiritual work, and I went into therapy, and I immediately, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I think really became committed to understanding that story. Understanding myself at a deeper level in terms of my unconscious drives and why this pattern was playing itself out. And then after we broke up, after that relationship ended, I just decided, partly through having a baby and thinking, oh, I'll just have him and go back to work. And obviously I had him and completely fell in love with him and thought, I can't leave him alone. So at that point, I decided to change career, and I trained actually as a counselor, then as a therapist, working with couples. And that was very interesting. And then I discovered coaching, and I had some coaching myself. And then I decided to switch from a therapy format into coaching, because actually, while therapy has its place and it's really helpful to understand, you know, those patterns and understand where you came from and to understand the why, therapy never gave me the solution and the what next. And so coaching for me really filled in that gap for me and gave me that kind of extra piece of, well, now I understand why I do this stuff, but like, how do I stop doing it? You know what I mean? How do I stop repeating?
Right. Which is an incredibly different differentiator between therapy yes. and coaching. And we talk about that a lot on the show, is just like, ask yourself how you're doing and what are you going to do with it, that information. Yes. But often people don't really know what to do. So, and they really don't. So they continue to go to resources and to try to get help, but they go to the wrong kind of help. Yeah. So, you know, years of therapy and I'm still doing the same thing I've been doing forever, and I love my therapist, but I'm really still doing the same thing. So
well, absolutely. And I think for me as a person, I've just always been a big learner. I've always kind of swallowed lots and lots of knowledge. Like I said, this is kind of my fourth career.
Right.
I'm 45 now, so I may even have another one in me, I don't know, but at the moment I'm loving, you know, what I'm doing. So coming back to how this came about, actually, I trained as a coach, initially I trained in corporate and executive coaching. And that was my plan, was to kind of go and do that type of coaching. But actually, while I was training, I just got single women one after the other. I mean, it was literally insane. It was like, you know, even my free sessions I did, it was just single women. I had a couple of single guys right. that came to me, so in a way, I feel like it chose me. Like by the time I finished my training, I had this business. It just happened. I didn't kind of, you know, think, oh, I'll choose that as a niche. It very much kind of came to me that way. And obviously, I started to have a lot of success in helping women to, and men, some men I worked with both to start with. And then I decided to very much just focus on working with women. Although, having said that, I do find men easier to work with, and we can maybe talk about that later in the show.
Yes, definitely.
And the reasons why. But I started working with women, and initially I worked with women just one-on-one, and that kind of developed. And then about 3 years ago, I changed everything, and I had some more coaching myself and developed this group program, and it kind of just... it just exploded, really, actually, from there. So it's been an amazing.
And I think it's so important, Kate. It's really important work that you do. Because I know we haven't talked at all about the financial cost of mistakes in relationships. But I literally, and I'm sure other people can, this would resonate. It's like millions of dollars lost in making poor relationship choices. And that's the bank account. That is not your heart account. That isn't your self-esteem or your self-respect, or it is this whole, it's a very, very expensive thing to not have figured out. And so it is incredible work that you're doing. And I want to, first of all, thank you for that and bringing this to the world. You have such a delightful spirit about you. I can completely see why women would come to see you, and men as well. But I agree. It's like, there's this interesting thing around clients, and women working with other women. There's all these dynamics. So where would you like to pick up the story? Like where do you want to start on what it is that you actually do, you know, to help, women, first of all, maybe figure out men, or what that dynamic is between men and women that we think we know, but we really don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting because I work with men and women in an individual capacity and within a group at the same time. So both of my programs involve one-on-one coaching and group coaching, and I think the two things serve a very different purpose, and they're both amazing when you kind of join that together. And you know, because everyone is individual, right? And so what your triggers are and your when you should probably get physically and sexually involved with a guy may be slightly different from what I can handle, right? Or what gets triggered for me. So so in terms of the core piece of work, though, which is interesting, I mean, particularly for women, I think it's really helpful as a starting place to just stop everything. And I do have a system called the dating diet, which is like in my 3 month program for women, when they come to me, I kind of insist that they take a month out. If they are dating, that they stop dating, they stop going on apps, that they just put everything on hold. So they don't make any major decisions about anything actually in their lives. They just say like, don't, no decisions, no thinking. Because I think what I've noticed is so many women in the modern world that we live in are so much in their masculine energy, and which means they've gone into their head and they get into this very logical place about their love lives of trying to figure it out, right? Obsessing, controlling, thinking, analyzing. And really the core piece of work first that we do is to get women out of their head and back into their heart, yeah, and back into their body and back into their kind of spirituality and into a deep sense of connection with source, whatever that means to you, right? So I'm not religious, but and you don't need to be religious, but I think for me, anyone who comes to me needs to have some kind of sense of a higher power or source or something outside of themselves, right? Even if it's just energy. Mm-hmm. So getting connected to that and then really looking at just for a week, really, their family of origin, what was modeled to them as children, what are the core wounds or the core traumatic events that happened to them through their lives and the past relationship patterns that recur? And what I find that every single client, male and female, that I've ever worked with has in common is that we all have a blind spot, right?
Yes.
So we all have in us, particularly those of us who've had past trauma or have not really been modeled necessarily what a healthy relationship looks like. We all have this blind spot where, and actually I was speaking to a woman today on an inquiry call, and you know, the stories I hear every day are just incredible, where it's like, you know, women come to me thinking that they're in a relationship with a man. And it's clear to me that like the man has no sense whatsoever that he's in a relationship. And the woman is like really invested, really all in, fully committed. And the man just from what she's telling me about, like she spent a whole year in this pattern with this guy, and she's getting more and more angry and resentful about the fact that he's not reciprocating. And within that, it to me as an outsider and from the work I've done, and probably to you as well, I would imagine, it's kind of obvious. It's like, well, what are you doing there? You know? Mm-hmm. And that's the blind spot, really. I mean, but the problem is that often our emotions, our need for validation and our need for connection and for feeling wanted by that person, it just overrides. It overrides intelligence. It overrides any kind of sense or logic, right? So that's the blind spot.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Kate, because I do think that now is a parallel time around the, like our basic needs being met. So that whole survival instinct of, you know, do you have a roof over your head? Do you have, you know, certainty of a relationship? Do you have variety of, woohoo, this is fun? Do you have significance in the relationship in some sort of way? And are you getting connection somehow? Yeah. But it's interesting how the stories we tell ourselves, and we all do it. So all of us coaches go, oh yeah, do you remember when I thought that?
So absolutely. And it's, you know, but as you said, it's like the cost of living like that is just so high. And you know, the financial cost is eye-watering. I mean, I suffered with that pattern myself, and that's why, you know, again, I think I'm so easily able to spot that very quickly in my clients and help them. I think my style of coaching is that I'm very direct, you know, I'm very respectful, and it's always from a place of love. But I'm more than willing to tell somebody, look, you're not in a relationship. I'm sorry. Like, that's upsetting to you, but this is the reality of what's going on. You know what I mean? And then holding the space for them. So yeah, I think that's the kind of the starting place, if that makes sense.
What about the flip side of that, where you've got somebody who is in a relationship and the guy is really in, but the woman's like kind of, I don't really think I'm all the way in. But she's sticking around because she's trying to wait for something maybe to become better, or them to, I don't know, magically change. But they're really not really invested. They're just
yes. Well, it's interesting because, and it's a great point, because actually it's the same issue. Mm-hmm. And the core issue in that case is not being able to receive because of something that's happened in the past where, you know, you've had your heart broken, you've been betrayed, or there's some, like I said, there's some trauma in childhood where, you know, receiving was scary, sometimes even dangerous if you're one or both of your parents were either violent, aggressive, you know.
Sexual abuse is a huge one, yes. I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So when we've been invaded in the past or hurt or attacked or betrayed, you know, it's just a natural coping strategy to put the wall up, to go inside and to give rather than receive. It, you know, it puts us with a feeling of control, right? So being the giver is another huge pattern for lots of my female clients. And to answer your question, though, when, you know, when it's the woman who's not sure and the guy, it's the same, really. It's the same. And, you know, that woman most likely has also had a history of being attracted to men where it was the opposite way around. So it tends to flip, but it's the same core problem, which is like fear of intimacy, fear of commitment, not wanting to receive or being able to fully receive from a man. And I think what's really fascinating to me is that most of the women I speak with initially, and a lot of the women in my program, and this is why we've just introduced actually mixed coaching, there's just a common belief that men don't want emotional connection, or they don't somehow need romantic and emotional connection, and that they just want sex. You know, that men are fine with just having sex and kind of, you know, that they don't necessarily have these deeper emotional needs. And what I've seen over the whole period of time I've done this work is that actually, you know, the thing that makes men really want to commit at a deep level is emotional connection. And it's also what makes women want to commit. But I think as women, often we have on a primal level a deeper need for security and commitment just because of the whole biology of it, right? And men have, generally speaking, more of a fear of losing their freedom. There are, of course, exceptions to that rule, but I think as a dynamic, that's often why women feel on the back foot, particularly with online dating, that really plays itself out, right? Because men often take longer to commit. They don't get as attached often to women as women do to men. So that dynamic kind of plays itself out. And I think one of the amazing transformations that my female clients have through working with me is understanding how to really slow down and pace the relationship and how to rewrite that story and really start valuing themselves, understanding what self-love means on a practical level, as well as, like I say to my clients, it's not just bubble baths and flowers. You know what I mean? Like, self-love is saying no, it's having boundaries, it's having standards. And one of the things I notice about women often is that we have really high expectations of men and dating and really low standards. And it's like a lethal combination.
Let's talk about that, because I think that's right. So yes. I think that's spot on. Yes. So what do you mean by standards when you say standards, Kate? What do you mean?
Well, so, you know, expectations and standards is like often, you know, we have our vision for who we're looking for. And it's like, I want this amazing king and he has to be 6'5" and he has to look this way and he has to earn this much and he has to be, you know, this amazing. Right. This amazing guy. And then, so that's kind of an expectation. But then in reality, going out dating and maybe not finding that in the first person that you speak to, right? Suddenly, the standards we have for ourselves, either they weren't there in the first place or they are not, our standards are not a match for that expectation. So essentially, we are not showing up as a match to our vision. And so a big piece of the work I do with women and with men is to, first of all, get really clear about our vision and what that is, but then also to understand that we need to be a match to that. So if we have this huge fear of commitment or, you know, we don't really believe that we are a match to that, it's just not going to show up. And then what happens is that your standards drop. And they drop and they drop. And so there's a cycle, I think, to dating where often, you know, you have a bad experience or you get rejected. And if you don't have a really concrete sense of self-esteem and you don't truly believe in your own value, that's just going to get dented, you know, again and again and again, and until like your stand, and that makes your standards drop even further, if that makes sense. So there's a cyclical kind of pattern that happens where as our self-esteem drops, our standards drop, and then we kind of prove ourselves right because we start attracting even worse men, and then it's like, well, look, that's all I can get, and right, and then I can't even get him, and now he's left me, so what does that mean about me, right? And so the rabbit hole just deeper and longer and harder to crawl out of. Yeah,
so harder to crawl out of. And I think that's really, ladies and gentlemen, if as you're listening to this, I'm laughing because I'm almost a decade older than Kate, so I've been dating it's been a while. Let's just say it's been a while. And because my kids are grown, I have grandchildren now, but when I left also my husband when I was pregnant with my second child. So I left when my son was a year old and I was pregnant with the second. And so the date, and then I remarried somebody who was like not awesome. And that was a good 10-year stepmom stint, which was really fun in lots of ways, but in other ways, just a complete train wreck and expensive. So now 10 years, how many years out of that am I? Like 11 years out of that. Lots of online dating. And say, it's like, oh my God, you go on. Seriously. And then you go on a few dates and go, I think I should just shut my profile down for a while because I'm not attracting what it is that I think in my life I really want. And I think that then I'll maybe get close, but then something happens that derails it. So either the kids have something going on, so I stopped dating for a year. You know, grandchild comes along, stop dating for a while. So, yeah. So I guess why I'm bringing up this point is that as we get more mature, older, more mature, like our impetus maybe changes through the ages and stages of life as well. And so when you're like the actual core problems maybe don't, but your desire for a mate may change,
yes.
Or your pressure, depending on kind of how you think about it. There's lots of belief stuff tied up in there.
If you've been trying to answer the questions of how to feel normal or when is everything going to get back to normal, I have great news for you. Your search can end today. Come to healthoncommand.com and get your copy of Searching for Superhumans. Why is this so incredibly important? This beautiful 9-part docuseries helps you to change what your idea of normal actually is. And it's going to inspire you to think about how you could create your new normal starting right now. Come to healthoncommand.com for Searching for Superhumans. Can't wait to hear your reviews. That's healthoncommand.com, Searching for Superhumans.
You know, one of the challenges with change, and you know, at the moment we're all kind of really, we've all been thrown a bit down a rabbit hole, right, in terms of having to make these enormous adjustments overnight with no warning at all, really. You know, the problem with change is, and this is the thing that where my clients get very stuck and where coaching can so help you with this, is, you know, how do you really believe that something's possible if you haven't ever experienced it, right? So if you've never really had that kind of relationship that's on your vision board, that's in your mind, that you want, you know, it's very difficult to manifest that, because manifestation comes from the heart, but also from feeling, right? From like that feeling you get, and you create the feeling first, and then the thing kind of gets closer and closer to you until it just comes into your physical reality, right? So that's kind of been my experience of manifestation, whether that's with money, relationships, whatever it is. And so, you know, there's lots of exercises you can do around that, but also there is lots of practical work, like I said, around that. So one of the things I do with my clients, with my female clients, like we do this 1 month of kind of dating detox, basically. One of my clients called it the man ban. So now it's called the man ban, which is like,
that's great.
Not necessarily my favorite name for it. And also, like, we now do have some mixed coaching going on with men. So it's kind of not really, but yeah, it's just a period of kind of really going within and cleansing, and, you know, a bit like a diet detox, really just looking back at all your unhealthy patterns and kind of letting go of the past. But then there is some preparatory work in there. Around, so I help them to create a dating plan, which is really helpful, actually, just to get stuff down in black and white. Like, what are my non-negotiables for dating? So many women and men just don't even think about that, right? They just go out and date, and then, you know, they get involved with someone, and there's loads of non-negotiables that suddenly we make those things negotiable, even though deep down we know that's not really negotiable. But I love him, or, you know, whatever. And then the non-negotiable thing becomes more and more and more untenable, right? Until that's the thing that usually explodes the relationship. So there is a process of creation, which is actually very, very practical and just very much about getting that down, you know, in black and white on paper, and asking yourself those deeper questions and being really willing to say no to people who seem like 99% right, but that if there's a non-negotiable, it's like that has to stay non-negotiable. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean? I can't take just 99%? I'm just kidding. I don't even know. Say the hell no. You need to go over the 100. And you're making some really good points, Kate. So I want people, the takeaway to be, you can think, what do you mean? I can just do the man ban for a month and everything will be okay? No, you actually need to do the man ban, and you need to be doing some work around what it is you're wanting to create, proprietary work with Kate's company or with another dating coach or whatever, whoever works with you. But don't get the same coaching from the same person as you were getting coaching from the last time you picked somebody was not a good match, which we often do. It's like we're hanging around with our friends and they're going, oh, I think you'd be so good with so-and-so, or oh, blah, blah, blah. Remember the last time you coached me, how that worked out?
I mean, family members are a good one, you know, like, I learned that one the hard way, right? Not mentioning any names, but yeah, certain people just don't take advice from them. You know what I mean? So, and they mean well, but yeah, so I mean, coming back to that in terms of what I was saying about, you know, how do we make that shift, right? Because you're talking about that as well. And it is really challenging because what's familiar to us is such a draw. It's such a deep instinctive pull. And our whole, I guess our whole perception and our whole understanding of what love looks and feels like is familiar. And the word familiar is like from family, right? So it's like, it goes so far back. And again, it's really about creating something new for yourself and then really finding the courage, I think, to step outside of what's familiar. And it does take quite a long time, I think, to really do that if you've had a very dysfunctional childhood or if you've had a very dysfunctional kind of family pattern, which certainly has been the case for me, kind of going back generations. I mean, I come from generations of single moms, which is interesting. My grandmother was a single mom in the 50s, which was like really actually quite shameful and very challenging. And so my mom grew up with that. And then, you know, all my female cousins ended up as single moms. My aunts are all single moms. So it's like a family disease in a way. And, you know, stepping outside of that is hard because it's not just my lifetime. It's like this goes back generationally, you know, in terms of the patterns that are almost kind of hardwired into your DNA. But what I love about doing this work is seeing people change, you know, seeing women. One of my clients, particularly, who had a huge breakthrough recently, and I've actually been working with her over a longer period. She's in my mastermind for about a year. And she came to me in a really, really dysfunctional relationship with a guy who was unavailable. And it took her actually over a year to get out of that relationship because she did some work, he disappeared, she got rid of him, then he came back. And, you know, there was this kind of process. But in a way, she needed to go through that with my coaching. And then she had to get to a place where she was just done. You know, she was like, can't do this anymore. And then it was almost starting from scratch with the vision piece. And again, then stepping into dating. And she, out of all of my clients, actually, she's the one I would say is said the most no's and just has relentlessly kept going. You know what I mean? Just unbelievable commitment to self and to this process. And just, he's nearly right, but not quite. And there's this non-negotiable and like, oh, but I really like him, but no, I'm going to keep going. And through online dating. And she actually met someone a few months ago who is literally her vision board guy. And it's just amazing. And is really happy. And, you know, then this whole coronavirus thing hit. And so she, you know, they've been navigating that, but, and there's been challenges in the relationship, but she, watching her journey has been so fulfilling for me because it just showed me how it can work in terms of going from like right the other end of the spectrum, right across to into her vision, you know, and working with her over that longer period has just been amazing to kind of see all the shifts. And, you know, we've had our moments in terms of me, you know, blood, sweat and tears in a way.
Right? Yes, insisting, right? Being insistent yeah. that she do the work for her own.
Yes. And, you know, the ego that comes up around, ego is another thing I always love to talk about because we think of ego as like someone being very arrogant, but actually I see there's another kind of interpretation of ego, which is not feeling like you're good enough and wanting to hide yourself, right? Because we feel ashamed. And shame, I think, is such a big part of ego that ties in with our love lives in terms of just at our core, not feeling like we deserve love, not feeling good enough, the fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of criticism that keeps us so stuck in the wrong relationships. It keeps us so stuck alone for long periods, right? Because we don't have a strong enough sense in our core selves of who we really are and being resilient enough. Because going out and doing online dating, you do need to be resilient. You know what I mean? You do need to have done that core work. And I wouldn't, and that's why we say like, just stop for a month. And let's kind of clear the past and then rebuild you from the inside out. So that when you go out dating again, you have a really clear black and white plan. You have a vision for what you want, but also you have the inner strength to be able to handle people not texting you back or even further people saying, look, you're not for me, right? Which is hard to hear. It's not easy to hear that. But
and going it's not easy to say that. And it's not easy to say that either. So
absolutely. And you know, but I think understanding men and women and understanding each other at a deeper level can really help. So for example, like the whole ghosting topic, which is a huge topic, and again there's this whole perception where so many women kind of have this story about I always get ghosted or I've been ghosted and feel very angry and very hurt, which is kind of understandable. But actually when you start digging deeper, often the reason is that, coming back to like the beginning of this talk with you, often women overinvest and they jump in much more quickly than men. And so the woman thinks they're in a relationship with this guy. And the guy is like, okay, I just met her. And now I've met someone else I like better. And actually I'm quite a nice guy and I don't want to call her and say that to her. So I'm just going to kind of disappear because I don't really want to be mean and say that, right? It's a difficult thing to say. So they feel that maybe they're being kinder by disappearing, and the woman's there going, I'm in love. Oh my God, he's abandoned me. I've been ghosted. And so it's a great example of how different we can be, you know, as men and women. And I'm not saying that men don't get ghosted too, because it happens for sure both ways around. But it does seem to be more, you know, that the women perceive themselves as, you know, men online always ghost, and there's a whole kind of story around that, which is not necessarily true when you kind of break it down in that way, if that makes sense. So a lot of this work as well, I think, is really helpful for people to start understanding the psychology behind what people do, mm-hmm. and that usually it's about them, it's not about you. Like if someone doesn't want to be with you, that's no reflection of your value. It's just, there could be a million reasons, right, why that person mm-hmm. isn't feeling it, or they met someone, or you know, something happened, like you're saying, it's interesting hearing you know, another baby arrived, or this happened, or you know, and it's just not the right time, you know, it's not personal. So that's really helpful, I think, as well, to kind of explore that from men to women and women to men, which is something I've just introduced into my program in terms of mixed coaching, which has been really, really exciting actually, and really helpful for both. Yeah.
So I'm just going, there's so many topics we could talk about, the whole, so online dating is probably like front and center right now because people can't go out.
Yeah.
So generally, do you have some guidelines for people about, in normal circumstances, the timeline when they should meet somebody face to face or like in person? Or why would you advise them to not meet somebody in person if they're, you know, had a couple of good conversations or you've been, is there some general guidelines about not meeting people in person and why we wouldn't do that? And maybe even about intimacy, because I think people jump into intimacy or the expectation of it, like sex, really quickly. And yes. You have some general sort of thoughts about that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's interesting. Obviously, in this current climate, we can't meet physically, which is what I think you were referring to. But I kind of teach that anyway, like in my program, in terms of just slowing things down. So the whole social distancing thing for my current clients, so obviously this hit for some of them when they were just about to kind of come out of their man ban phase and go into like dating, actively dating. And it's like, they all freaked out and went, oh my God, now we can't date. And it's like, no, you can. So, I mean, I've promoted for them doing video calls and video dates anyway, even before this stuff hit. So actually that's a big part of my program, which is a great way, like it's that great in-between phase between phone call and meeting and kind of really then making a decision about whether you want to bother to go out of your way. Because meeting someone is time consuming. It's like, it can be really disappointing. It can be, right? Yeah. So, and then really understanding that it's okay to ask those kind of deeper questions. I mean, I guess it's trying to get that balance right between, you know, not kind of making someone feel like it's a job interview and being natural and just conversational, feeling the connection out a little bit. But then equally trying to find out the non-negotiables as quickly as you can, right? Because, for example, you definitely know you don't want kids. It's a good idea to find that out, right? To someone else. These kind of things, like, don't waste your time. And, you know, we can get involved very quickly when there's chemistry. So, unraveling that whole thing is just, it's better just to know. Do you know what I mean? And just to be direct.
Absolutely. I know. And people might be going, oh, come on. People know whether or not other people want to have kids. I have a cousin who just went through a horrific divorce because of exactly that. He married somebody and they didn't have that conversation. And they were like, they're Christians all day long. Like, so they like grew up in the church, et cetera, et cetera. They had never had that conversation.
And it's so amazing to me.
I know, right? It's just like, wow.
So you would get married and then find that out after the marriage. Like you said, it's so expensive making these mistakes.
Oh,
like,
wow. So hard on the heart, right? Because her name's in the family cookbook now.
Wow. It's amazing. I mean, it's a great analogy I often use is like when we think about buying a house, like, you know, you think about how long that takes, how many houses you go look at, you employ a whole heap of people to check it out, the roof, the foundation, right? You get a structural person in, you get lawyers involved. This is before you buy the house, right? So you do all this work to get it right because you know that to get that wrong is like a major, major, right? It's a major mistake. So, but then our love lives, just generally speaking, people don't put that amount of care in. And I say to people, like, just imagine you're buying a house. You've got to check this stuff out, right? Has it got a solid foundation? Does the roof leak? You know, do you want the same things? Is it in the right location? You know, there's a lot of analogies actually that work. And so, yeah, I mean, I think coming back to the question about online dating and getting physical, you know, getting physical, again, especially for women, I think getting sexually intimate, it does trigger off a lot of hormones. And for most women, I think it triggers a lot of attachment stuff. So if you already have an anxious attachment style, which means that you get overly attached very quickly because you have a fear of abandonment, you have a kind of a wounding around that, I think it can just be disastrous. I mean, we can actually get very addicted to a partner through having regular sex with them. And then, I mean, aside from just non-negotiables, a lot of women, unfortunately, that come to me, you know, put up with abusive behavior or, you know, stayed in relationships way, way too long because of there's such a strong kind of physical chemistry. So I think, yeah, I think, you know, I advise my clients, like, just be really careful and be really real with yourself about that. You know, if you don't have attachment issues, I think and you've done a lot of work on yourself, I think you probably can. Some women can happily get involved physically and still remain kind of detached enough to make an objective decision. So again, like I said, that's why I work with clients one-on-one to kind of figure that out. Do you know what I mean? So their plan is their personal plan. I don't believe in the rules. I don't believe in like, oh, wait till date six and then there's this magic thing that's going to happen. I think.
Magic date six. God, love it.
No, I mean, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I think you have to, it's personal to you. It's personal to your past. It's personal to your vision. You know, I think it makes sense if you really are looking for a life partner in a long-term relationship, it makes sense to build a friendship first and to build an emotional connection so that, you know, the sexual side is almost like a reflection of what's there already, as opposed to something that could potentially mask what isn't there already, if that makes sense, or that isn't there or it isn't ever going to be there. Does that make sense?
Square in the eyes, Kate, probably will. My oldest grandson's 5.5 years old. He is my dear heart. I talk about him lots on this show because I just love him so much. And then I have another little one that's 2, and then a granddaughter that is 9 months old. And they are the love of my life. And I think about who would be good enough for them to call grandpa, to be the grandfather of these children. And I had not thought that way, you know, 20 years ago. And so it's just like one of the really big learnings or insights for me really has been having these little people in my life that I have such high regard for. And it really does make me think about what is my standard and who else is it affecting besides my bank account? And are they going to be around long term? So I've been a better coach as a result of having these grandchildren, you know, as well. But yeah, as we age, women and men both, I think men also think like, who do I really want influencing my children, my grandchildren, at least when they step back from things, you know.
Yes.
What's it going to look like in 5 years from now when she's so pretty?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, just carrying on from that, I mean, it is a different kind of love and it is a different kind of connection that goes beyond the physical. And again, a lot of my clients come to me in that very 3D place of it's just the physical, and then through the inner work, it's almost like they get to that fifth dimensional place within themselves somehow of self-love and self-appreciation. And then that kind of almost opens something up. But it actually is quite magical in terms of being able to experience that deeper connection that does go beyond the physical. And, you know, it's a great point because if you want a long-term partner, which I think most people kind of over the age of about 30 do, generally speaking, just in terms of, like you said, especially if you have kids and grandkids, you don't want to be kind of bringing hundreds of people in and out and all this attachment stuff. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes. Oh,
people kind of don't want that. So there is a thing about growing old together as well, right? It's like at some point, you know, the physical fades and then what are you left with? You know what I mean as well. So I think it's an important thing to consider in terms of just thinking about all these other aspects of our choices. And like I said, really thinking about the stories that we are living out and making a conscious decision about who we want to be with, as opposed to just living out this unconscious drive that just goes round and round and round often. You know,
you bring up so many good points about the practicality of things and the blind spots, because I didn't have that. It wasn't a spot that I had until I had grandchildren. So, you know, it would have been a blind spot. So you're working in groups now with women and men and kind of commingling them from time to time to do some work. That must be just incredibly satisfying at a satisfaction and heart level for you, but it also must be a huge learning for not only them, but for you, like the insights you must be getting from all of the revelations that they have along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've grown exponentially through doing this work, of course. And I've been on my own kind of journey, I guess, with my own personal life, and actually, you know, I had a big kind of disastrous, my last big disastrous kind of breakup where my blind spot was still very much, you know, actively kind of dictating my love life, was about 6 years ago, and that cost me hundreds of thousands of pounds. And the heart side was just so bad. You know, I lost my home,
yep.
My family, everything. You know, it was like a tsunami. It was just 1 minute we were like, I thought everything was fine on paper, everything looked great, but it was the stuff underneath, you know, that was kind of just still very unconscious stuff going on for me. And that was a real turning point for me. That's when I went and decided to invest in coaching for myself as well. And really, thankfully, haven't repeated that cycle since, you know what I mean? But I think, yeah, it is amazing. And seeing what's possible through my clients, I mean, it lights me up for sure, you know, in terms of, it is a two-way thing. And, you know, some of them say like, God, how do you do this work? It must be so draining. And I'm like, no, God, it's the opposite. Like, I find it so energizing and enlightening. And, you know, I feel so honored when somebody chooses me to be their coach, because I kind of know how deep we're going to go and, you know, how far we're going to go. And it's just a really exciting journey. I always get this kind of little butterflies in my stomach when people kind of say, yes, let's do it. And they, you know, they sign up and get started, because it's just, there's nothing better for me than seeing someone come in really quite broken and just not really even liking themselves. And then to go out on purpose, really lit up and really ready for partnership, actually, whether they found that while they're with me or not, kind of, it doesn't matter. It's like that partnership with self. Mm-hmm. Having that is just the biggest gift in the world, I think. And really also finding freedom, because I think that for me, this was such a trap and it kept me, you know, at my worst points in dysfunctional toxic relationship. For me, the self-abandonment and the disconnection that I felt from self and from source, how trapped I felt and how kind of purposeless just living like that is just horrendous. Like, I would never want to go back there. And so it is amazing to see people come in and then just get themselves back first off. You know, that in itself is just such an amazing gift, and to be free to make choices, because so many people don't realize, like, love is a choice. It's not something that happens to us, actually. Right. Which is not what we're told in our culture and in the media and all that other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Being, like being struck by Cupid. And you know what I mean? There's this whole concept of like love is something that kind of comes and runs you over like a bus. And actually, no, it's a conscious decision. It can be a conscious decision. And when it is, it's just, you know, it's something that operates in a higher realm somehow. That makes sense. So
yes, it does. So we've got to wrap up, Kate, but I need to ask. So you work with clients worldwide, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
She does. Oh my gosh. That's so wonderful. And one of the, just and an ending note is that one of the things I think that makes people so incredible when they're coaching is if they've got compassion for the situation that other people are in. And you are one of the most genuine people I have heard talk about this topic. And I have interviewed a lot of people. So people, if you are looking for a coach, someone who is compassionate, heart-centered, heart-driven, has a program that gets the number one results in the UK, then this is the lady that you need to connect with. Kate, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Kate Mansfield, as you said in the beginning. My website is just katemansfield.com. So if you go to my website, I have a free webinar and you can book a call with me. And we just take it from there. So I offer like a free strategy call, and then we just discuss and figure out if it's a fit. So that's the best way to get me. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today, Kate. I hope you take care and that you just bring blessings to many, many people's lives, which I'm sure you do every single day. Thanks, everybody, for joining me again this week. You know, I love you all and appreciate all of you showing up every week to hear insight and intelligence and inspiration that's going to help you to master your life. Love each other. Love yourselves. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life with Leah Mattinson has been a presentation of Real Life Training, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.